to it.
And we're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara here. Thanks again to Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Daryl Eady from the USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools. We're switching gears, as I said. Manhattan Area Tech College President Jim Jeanette's in studio with us. Jim, thanks for coming by.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I would like it to be a little less potential for rain out there, but as I walked back to get you, I saw some sun breaking through the clouds. Maybe that's a good sign.
My hometown in South Dakota got 18 inches of snow last week.
No. So I think that's a little optimistic in comparison. Yeah, definitely.
Is Dakota a Native American term for land where the snow falls in excess?
I don't think so.
They've had a couple of those this year.
Winter up there can run from September through May. And then
September through May.
And then it's hotter than... You know where?
It's hot.
The rest of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard we get some May snows in Kansas, too. I'm crossing my fingers that is not the case.
What's the frost date? I think it's May 15th.
Is it? Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's late.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Teaching this California boy something new.
Where in South Dakota are you from, Jim?
Little town called Huron.
H-U-R-O-N?
H-U-R-O-N. It's the hometown of Cheryl Ladd, our claim to fame. And it's also where Hubert Humphrey grew up.
Really?
Humphrey, yep. His family ran a drugstore. It's still there.
Whereabouts is Huron?
It's in the middle of the eastern half of the state.
Let's be a little bit more directional there.
Okay, yeah. When I was growing up there, it was the fourth biggest town in the state, and it had a population of 14,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's smaller now, but it was a good place to grow up, but I'm glad I don't live there.
How far is it off that interstate that goes from...
You know where Mitchell is in the Corn Palace?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, it's 50 miles north of there.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Lots of pheasants to hunt. Lots of snow to shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds nice.
And the
and
the pins in the golf course holes are always bent from the wind.
And also, to answer your question, I believe Dakota means people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, they should have split the states west and east instead of north and south because of both the economy and the mentality of the people. It's just weird.
Hmm.
Well, the geography is quite a bit different, too.
Well, and
landscape from the east is different from the west.
Yeah. I worked and taught at Southern Arkansas University in Magnolia, Arkansas, for 5 years, and they called me a Yankee. I said, no, I'm from the true south. I'm from South Dakota. There you go.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to some topics related to Manhattan Area Tech, as much fun it is to talk about other things. Final exams are approaching, and can you believe it?
Well, it doesn't bother me. I don't teach.
That's true. Good point. But the end of the year, generally, is coming quick.
It's coming up.
As someone not even dealing with school, it seems fast.
You can see the tension on some of the students' faces, especially in the healthcare programs, nursing and dental hygiene. And they're getting a little more tense than usual. Our commencement's on May 18th, and we do it at the K-State Ballroom at the Student Union, and it's usually packed. And then we also, that same day, we have nurses pinning and dental hygiene pinning. So it's quite a good day. It's a party day. We tell people no golf claps. We want people to celebrate their students. So it's a lot of family and friends, and it's a good time.
And how's the semester seem to go on?
It's pretty well, really. You know, again, one of our advantages as a tech college, we don't get students coming to us that are undeclared major, undecided. They're coming, they want in a program. They have to get into a program. So they're pretty motivated. Healthcare in particular is very difficult. Like in nursing, your overall percentage grade average, you won't pass to get through the program if it goes below 78%. So think about that. You can't be a C student and get through.
Oh, no, no.
Same thing in dental hygiene. What I see with almost all our programs and students, again, is that they're committed. They want to learn this. It's hands-on, so that helps, too. They're not sitting in a classroom listening to somebody lecture for an hour and a half, right? And we have a good mix of students. Our average age is probably on the older end of like 27, 28, but we have a mix. We have between, I'd say, 350, 450 high school students, some taking classes at their high schools from us or on campus. And it's just a good mix, but our education is so focused on skills, on getting something out of it that you can use right away. And I think that's a big advantage.
Yeah, and I imagine it helps with recruiting, too.
Yeah, we had open house. Friday.
Before we get into that, I believe we have a caller waiting on the line. So, caller, go ahead. Thanks for waiting. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, good morning. I don't know if you're old enough or young enough to remember Bob Carr's dad was Don Carr, the Texaco dealer at Beetle County here in South Dakota.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. I am pretty old.
I was his roommate at South Dakota State.
Well, cool.
He lives in Sioux Falls now. He graduated and got a doctorate degree in psychology, if you can do that.
When I got out of college up there, sorry we're digressing, but when I got out of college up there, I went to work for a guy named George McGovern on his Senate staff. And the other day I was talking with C. Clyde Jones, and he went to college with George McGovern at Northwestern University.
How about that?
They were buddies. So we had pretty good conversation about that, too. So there's South Dakota connections everywhere, got to tell you. So that's cool.
Bob Strom, one of our former commissioners, is a jackrabbit, too. He was South Dakota State.
Yep. Beetle County, and Huron is the county seat for Beetle County, and it's a good place.
All right, thank you so much for that call. You know, it's interesting, the connections you find, just talking on the radio real quick.
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right?
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about open house.
Yeah, we had open house Friday, and it was a huge success. We had almost, I think they told us, between 700, 800 students and people there. A lot of middle school, high school students, great stuff. We ran out of things.
From all over the state?
All over the region. And it was fantastic. They got to tour different programs or programs they were interested in. They got to do some hands-on stuff. So it's a fantastic way for them to learn more about what we do and why it matters. And, you know, the big thing we also stress is not just you come and learn. You're going to get a job, and you're going to get a job that pays well.
And what are some of the hands-on experiences that those students who came out got to engage in?
Well, like in healthcare, they got to go over to the nursing where we have the robots, the sim lab mannequins. Interact a little bit with them, but then on the other side of that, they also modify the game Monopoly related to healthcare. Can you answer the questions and advance around on the board that way? In like construction and building trades, they were making some hands-on stuff or could see how some things were made. In HVAC, they got to see how you work with sheet metal, you know, how to make the duct work, things like that. Welding demonstrations, so it's a little bit of everything. But again, these kids like to see this is hands-on stuff, and you can do it, you learn to do it. Jobs are waiting for you.
And what tends to be the reaction from those who come out and take part in these open houses? And the follow-up question to that is something you might not be able to answer. I don't know if you keep track of those who actually come out to the open houses, but do you know maybe how many of those students end up coming to MATC?
We do try to track it. A lot of the students are middle school and up into high school, so sometimes it takes a while before we see them. But over the last – I'm in my fourth year there – and I think each year in those 4 to 5 years, it's grown and we're doing better tracking. This year, for instance, Eisenhower Middle School here in Manhattan, they sent all of their eighth graders over, which is fantastic for them to see. Here's things you can think about doing. You're not trapped into any one area. Think about a general area, but here's where you can get the skills. We save people money. We get them jobs. It's a cool deal.
And that open house seems... an interesting step to getting people into these types of fields, because quite often I hear from students who have chosen the college route or the university route that they didn't know about these other opportunities, or students in high school didn't know about these other opportunities. So one of the first steps to being able to, you know, get them to know about these opportunities when they still have the opportunity to make a choice to go into it before maybe making another choice is to get them into like an open house program similar to what you do.
Right. And we're still overcoming that stigma. I say it's a stigma. It's people still call us the VOTEC. That's what it was before it was a tech college. Way back in the day, you sent the students to VOTEC who were not smart enough to go to college. I mean, that was the stigma attached. And we still fight that at times. I need smart students because they're playing with computerized technology. They have to understand the data. In healthcare, you've got to understand so much information that goes into those nurses' students' brains. I mean, you just watch them. And so part of overcoming that perception that I need good students. I need motivated students. And then our teachers are so great at working with them and our staff so great at supporting them, so they succeed. We were 19th in the nation in graduation rate 2 years ago when they ran the study out of over 800 two-year colleges. WalletHub, a financial services company, I always repeat the stats, but I love them, but WalletHub evaluates over 700 two-year colleges every year on cost, student success, job placement. We were number one in Kansas, number 20 in the country. So we're good at what we do. We're not a community college. We're not the university. We fill a different role in how we can make the world work.
And what are some partnerships in the area that MATC has? I know there's a ton of them. You work with all sorts of I know there's some things that go on at Wamego, I believe, and there's all sorts of things around the community.
The school districts all around want as much as we can try to give them, and we're always working how do we give them more. So especially in 383, all the Riley County school districts, we're doing more with Wamego. This fall we'll be in Junction City High School doing some tech ed for the first time. There will be a more formal announcement in the next few weeks, but I'll let you know a little inside. We've been working with K-State on an agreement for some time, and it's now approved. It's going to be called MHK Pathway. K-State gets, I think they told me, 300 to 400 students a year that don't qualify for their admissions qualifications. They can't get in because they're not quite good enough academically. So we've worked out a deal where they're going to help refer those students to us. They'll take like three classes, nine credit hours of gen ed from us, take one class at K-State. They can live at K-State, be part of the campus. Our gen ed is smaller class sizes. We have great tutoring. The idea is that we can help them over an academic year get their grade point average up so they'll qualify for admissions. They get a lot of their gen ed out of the way. It's a win-win for everybody. It's a win-win for K-State, win-win for us, win-win for the community. And so there'll be a formal announcement on that in a few weeks, but we're tickled to death to work with them on that.
What type of gen ed do you offer at Manhattan Tech that's applicable towards, any type of K-State degree?
The cool thing between the legislature and the State Board of Regents some years ago, they put together a guaranteed gen ed transfer matrix, and you can go to the KBOR website and find it. We don't do a lot in gen ed. We do gen ed related to our programs, but it's the core, like English composition, college algebra, speech, psychology, the basics in sciences. But they're guaranteed to transfer anywhere within the state of Kansas. So it'll work at K-State. It'll work at KU. And again, our class sizes are smaller. We haven't had a student fail college algebra, I think, in the last three semesters or four semesters in a row. Because we tailor the things on a smaller scale. We have some mandatory lab time for those students if they're not doing as well as we want them to do with their grades to help them get the grades up. And we cost less with gen ed compared to the university. So, again, it's a win-win for everybody, but it's a good partnership with K-State, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll tell you for sure, it will cost less. I did the community college route. I took a little extra time there than I probably should have, but it still ended up costing me less. Yeah. And an interesting aspect of this program you brought up, I feel like it might help with your numbers a little too in the long run. Maybe not for some of those students are going to go where they want to.
Right.
But some of them, once they get their foot in the door there at MATC, maybe they'll see something they like and stick around.
That's right. We figure some of them will find out, hey, I can do this tech ed thing. And again, we're not a dead end. You know, you can be a nurse, you can still go to K-State. You can get whatever clinic or hospital you work for to probably help pay the way. So I think, again, it's a win-win for everybody. We're excited to do it. It's an example of our mission, our everything, what we do is different than K-State. Some people have always said, why aren't you part of K-State? We're different. Doesn't mean we can't work together, and we're able to do a lot of things faster and more proactively than a lot of the governance issues with a university has.
And I believe it's time for our final break of the morning. When we come back, we'll have more with MATC President Jim Jeanette here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by